You need a TV the new very chance.
No, I'm not.
You know, there's a programme on Channel 4 for me called A Very British Brothel.
Do you know what's going to be even funnier? I'm actually recording it.
You are joking. No. You're a dirty bastard. I flicked it earlier and I was like, oh no, I'm no.
You
I'm
flicked it earlier, right? I bet you fucking did. No, oh, probably, yeah. No, probably spoke to you for about 3 weeks and this is the first thing you say.
Exactly, aye. It's incredible. I can find on the TV these days, eh?
In fact, I shouldn't say that just in case.
How?
Well, you didn't want to blow somebody's allegiances, do you?
I don't know, you didn't want to blow anybody's anything, mate, but
You got chips there or something like that?
Have I got what?
You got chips there, it was just kind of poplin and crack. Poplin?
Poplin? No, I don't know. Is it that you can hear?
No, it was like your microphone or something.
Oh, right. No. Can you hear that?
Well, you're hitting it now.
Aye, but what about the microphone? A very British brothel still on the background.
You've got that on. I'm really worried what you're doing now.
I'm not actually. I'm sitting with Sky Sports News on at the moment, actually. So. That's what I'm telling you, anyway.
Aye, well, just as well we didn't do video pods.
Didn't do what?
Video pods.
What did you say there?
I said video pods.
Yeah, I thought you said something else.
What did you think I said? Like?
Oh man, right, on you go.
Hi folks and welcome to season 3 of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm Derek, your host, and my co-host is with me as well. Dave, how are you doing?
I'm fine, mate. How are you in this lovely evening?
I'm very good, sir. How are you doing, yourself?
Yes, I'm good. It's just great that we're actually looking forward to doing the pod these days, Derek, after a couple of really excellent games and excellent performances that we're going to be talking about. I think everybody's really well up for it and optimistic, and everything's just rosy in the Rangers world now.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but it's certainly blooming anyway.
Oh, you're just a bloody pessimist, that's what you are.
Yes, we've got a couple of games to talk about. Certainly new players out as well. We've got a few bits and pieces to do with the boardroom. Not as much, fortunately, so it's all been kind of fairly quiet on that side. Bits and pieces of news, and also, we've got our classic match, which Dave's picked out again, and we've got somebody who I fully believe is one of the true world-class players that we've had on our side. So we'll kick this thing off, and we will go down the tunnel and onto the pitch. Right, so it's been tumultuous. Yes.
Were you watching that thing about Archie McPherson the other night? sports scene at 40.
I was apoplectic with it. No, I wasn't. I wasn't. No, tumultuous is maybe not the right word to say, but certainly it's been a lot of changes in the playing staff. Anyway, obviously we had the 12 players that went out, or 11 players that went out. So that was. I've got the list here. It is Stephen Smith, Bilal Mojne, Lee McCulloch, Ian Black, John Daly, Chris Boyd, Sebastian Flory, Kyle Hutton, Richard Foster, Lee Robinson, Steve Simonson, Jamie Burrows, Junior Ogden, Christian Gibson, Scott Whiteside and Lewis McGinn. Now, the last five of them were obviously part of the youth team. We were disappointed to hear Junior Ogden's gone, because apparently from all reports he was actually quite a good player.
Yeah, I know. I think it was a couple of seasons ago, was it the youth cup final against Celtic, where he apparently had a blinder and scored, I'm sure, in that game. But I think he was possibly away out on loan as well last season. Maybe I'm wrong about that, Derek, but I think he was out on loan. But it's obviously, it wasn't meant to be. Out of the senior players there, is there any one of them? I mean, I think I asked you a few pods ago, was there any one of them? And I think it was really only Sebastian Faure that you said that you would maybe keep. But yeah. I wasn't as kind as you. I think they were all complete wasters at the club. The likes of Mojnay, who was a complete bam pot. Lee McCulloch, a great servant to the club, something that we'll no forget. He'll be down as a bit of a legend at the club for the amount of time that he stayed with the club and everything that he'd done. But, you know, his time was passed for playing as well, Derek, and there really wasn't any of those players I would have kept, not one. So I was quite glad to see them all go. I don't know if you think I'm being harsh or no, but I really didn't see anything in any of those players that would have wanted to, you know, for us to keep them in the team, because I just thought they were absolutely dire last season.
Yeah, I mean, it was not really a big pass mark for any player, to be honest. And as I said, Faure was probably the only one that I would have maybe kept, because he did show some bright sparks when he was played in his correct position. But I think from what we've seen so far in our team now, it was needing a wholesale clearance, and what a difference, you know, like 2 months can make effectively. Just going on the players we've brought in, there's been 10 in total. Three of them have been put into the youth academy. So we've got Wes Fotheringham, came in from Swindon Town for nothing. Danny Wilson, a free transfer again from Hearts. Rob Kiernan, Wigan Athletic, that was 220,000. First of the youngsters, Jordan Gibson from Alverchurch, don't know where that is. Tom Lang from Birmingham City. Jordan Thompson, Manchester United, they were all free. We've got Andy Halliday from Bradford City, a free transfer again. Martin Waghorn, 200,000, he came from Wigan. James Tavernier, is that his right name?
Tavernier, I think it is.
Tavernier, oh.
Yep, I think that's how you pronounce that, I think.
I'll leave the French name then.
I'm certainly not going to ask you to do a French
name. Ho, hee, ho, hee, ho. See what I teed that one up there? Yes, it's a new season, the same shit jokes.
And the same shit impressions. Oh dear, right.
Yes, he came in from Wigan as well for 200 grand. And the last of the signings so far is Jason Holt. He came from Hearts, and I think it was just Compo we paid for him, £65,000.
Yep.
So, I've got to say, a lot of them, you would have said, you could be forgiven for thinking, who are they? But certainly from the games we've seen so far, they've been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, and the two matches that I've seen them in, Derek, I wouldn't say there was one of them that was a waster. Every single player out of that has played looks to be the real deal. And I think we've really unearthed a gem in Tavernier, because he's been absolutely outstanding in the two games so far. I know, the game against Hibs, he was brilliant. And again, the other night against Ayr United, yesterday against Ayr United, he had a fantastic game as well.
Ayr United, it was Peterhead.
Oh, so where am I getting Ayr United for?
We've played them in a friendly.
No, that's not what I'm thinking. Why am I saying Ayr United? Right, you'll have to edit that, but right, sorry. Against Peterhead, who I know are in, you know, the lower divisions, but he had a fantastic game as well, and he was linking up with the forwards. It's also refreshing to see as well, Derek, the likes of Barry Mackay, who I've been really impressed with as well, getting his chance backing the team. It's quite obvious that Mark Warburton quite likes this guy. And of course, the pod favourite, David Templeton, getting his chance again and playing. So he is using the players that he had there before, as well as the new players. But they certainly all look solid. They all look really accomplished. And I think the most importantly, Derek, they all look fit, which is something that we've not been used to at all for the last two seasons. Every player looks as if they're really fit and really fast. And I think that'll go a long way for us this season.
Yep, absolutely. And you look at the ages of these players, the oldest is Martin Maghorn at 25. You know, that's what we wanted initially, yep, when we started this run in the lower leagues. Young players bedded in and just a general attacking attitude, and that's what we've certainly got. We're looking to sign John Eustace as well back in defence, who's going to be a potential captain. He's set to sign a 2-year deal within the next week, so we've been told anyway. And obviously we've got the Scott Allen, Hibs as well, we're still trying to bid for him. We'll get into that kind of the issue with Scott Allen later on.
Yeah.
But certainly if we manage to pull him off, I'll rephrase that.
Derek, that's what it's going to take to get up the same for me. Just go for it, mate. You will be forgiven.
Well, I think we might all need to do that the way Hibs are playing, but
you dirty bastard, eh? Mine's always in the gutter. So,
we'll quickly move on. If we manage to pull off the signing of Scott Allen, that'll be certainly quite a good one.
Yep.
Just getting into the couple of games here, we'll start with the friendlies. We had a 3-2 loss to a Tottenham Hotspur development side.
Yep.
That was behind closed doors. Again, the results in friendlies are not too bad. You know, we're not really looking for anything spectacular. We're looking for just general fitness and good attitude.
And I don't think you can count that game, Derek. I think it was a game in three sections of 20 minutes. It wasn't three sections of 30 minutes or something like that. It was a strange setup that they had. So you really can't count that match at all. I think it's more, you know, we've had a couple of closed door games plus, I'm sure you're going to talk about the Burnley match as well. So
yeah, I mean, we had a game against Ayr United. That's maybe where you're getting Ayr United from.
Maybe, I'm not sure.
So we won 2-0 against them, and the Burnley game was the only game that was not behind closed doors, and that was at Ibrox. We lost 1-0, but it was on RTV, I believe, and I watched it, and we were actually very impressive. It was the first time, you know, pretty much any fan had managed to see the team this year, and we certainly looked up for it. We looked very fit. We were chasing after every ball, very attack-minded. Again, the result wasn't too bad. We were only really bothered about the result, and certainly we've continued that on for the actual games we've played.
Yep, definitely.
Right, the first game, the actual proper game we played was, unbelievably, we drew them in the first round last year as well, and away as well. It was against Hibs in the Petrofac Training Cup.
Yep, it was a potentially going to be a difficult match, because I think that Hibs are going to be sort of main rivals this season. So it was going to be a potentially tricky game, but with the way we played, it was sensational for us, especially in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, it was played on Saturday the 25th of July. As I said, it was at Easter Road. We lined up Fotheringham, Taverney, Kiernan, Wilson, Wallace, Holt, Halliday, Law, Templeton, Wycorn and Mackay. On the subs bench we had Kelly, McGregor, Aird, Thompson, Shields, Clark and Miller.
Straight away, Derek, 4-3-3. You know, two wingers and a main striker and three, would you say, attacking midfielders, plus their two sort of attacking fullbacks. So you knew that it was, you know, it's just strange for us to be playing that way in that system. I really think everybody was genuinely excited, you know, by that formation. And it'd be fair to him, he stuck to that formation, you know, the two games that he's played.
Yeah. For the first half an hour of that game, though, we were genuinely worried, I think. We were thinking, not the same again. This year, we did actually, we were on the back foot a lot of the game. The defence looked really shaky. And we did go a goal down after 13 minutes. It was a shot for 25 yards. After that, though, we seemed to screw the nut. There's something just clicked in the team. I don't know if it was the fact that, you know, there was an impetus to go forward. I mean, certainly that's what Warburton is kind of came out and said, it's, you know, it's going to be attractive forward thinking football we're going to play.
Yeah.
We're going to lose goals, but you know, the main aim is to obviously score more. I think when he was down south, he did actually come out with a line saying, you know, I don't care if the other team score two as long as we score three.
Yep, that's right, I heard that, yep.
Well, Hibs did score two and we ended up scoring six, so
that's
certainly good. On the 38th minute we did draw one back. It was Traverney on the edge of the box, free kick into the top left corner, unbelievable free kick. Have we actually got someone who can take a free kick now?
It certainly looks like it, Derek. It was an absolute peachy goal. It was the perfect height, the perfect amount of curl on the ball, and it was like right in the top corner. The goalkeeper had no chance. An absolute gem of a goal, and a brilliant start for him in his Rangers career. Absolutely superb.
Yep. On the 40th minute, Fotheringham, there was a wee bit of, we've not heard much of him, and the things we have heard have been a bit mixed. He did cause us a wee bit of a heart attack on the 40th minute when he tried to play fancy, nearly cost us a goal, but he got away with it. 3 minutes later, we went 2-1 up with Waghorn scoring. Well worked play from the right-hand side, and it was effectively a tap-in. Good general overall play.
Yeah, but it was great. It was all sort of crisp, neat passing all the way up, looking to get forward. And am I right in saying that it was possibly, was it Jason Holt that set up the goal for him? Was it him that put the final pass in? But as you say, it ended up being a tap-in, but it was there, it was in the right place at the right time, and, slotted the ball in, and that was us. A great platform for us for the second half, being 2-1 up at half-time.
Yep. I was going into the second half, we just, piled on the pressure right for the word go. Waghorn is not known as an out-and-out striker, but certainly he added a second to the game. Went 3-1 up in the 47th minute. So a long punt down the left-hand side to Waghorn, took it into the box, hit a shot. Keeper did kind of fumble it, but it went into the back of the net, so 3-1 Rangers.
Yep. Not scared to have a shot, Derek, that's what we're looking at. I'm going to be a bit more... classy than what you said there, rather than a big thump. I thought it was a fantastic ball that was played down to him, and he ran out there absolutely perfectly. And a guy who'd just scored, it's his first game, his first competitive game for Rangers, he was obviously on a high, and he thought, saw that I'm going to have a shot, and he did. It ended up going in, but he really did look top class throughout the whole game. I thought he was leading the line superbly well, and when he scored that goal, it showed you that he was fully confident that he was going to have a shot for nearly anywhere, and it was excellent. It went in.
Yeah. 53rd minute, we had a shot from Law. It was just by the post. One thing I've got to say over the two games is Law has been actually bloody good. It's a totally changed player from what we've seen. He's willing to get the ball, take it forward, have pops. We've been pretty good, I would have said.
I'm not saying much because I'm not a great fan of his at all, Derek, so the jury is still out for me. But as you say, he certainly did look a lot more useful than he did last season, but that really, doesn't count for much in my eyes. But hopefully he'll prove me wrong this season and he'll keep going the way he has done in the last two games. So.
Yep. On the 59th minute, Hibs pulled a goal back to make it 3-2. It was a penalty, very, very soft shoulder challenge in the box. I've seen them given, I've seen them not given. We just have to take that one on the chin, but it was very soft anyway. On the 60th minute, Holt and Templeton came off, Miller and Shields came on. So classic Championship manager tactics, but I don't care about that as long as it works. And it certainly did, because yep, a minute later we scored and we went 4-2 up with Halliday scoring. Absolute peach of a shot from 20 yards, hit off the bar and into the back of the net.
Yep, it was an absolute cracker of a goal, Derek. And, a guy who has been very vocal about his dream move to Rangers, ex-Rangers youth player. He was desperate to get back. For him again to score a goal like that on his, competitive debut, it's just, that's the stuff that dreams are made of, when you're playing for the club that you've supported all your life. It was an absolute gem of a goal. I've watched it several times now just to see it, but you see it, technique and everything was just absolutely brilliant. So it was really, really pleased about that goal.
73rd minute, Waghorn came off, Clapp came on, so as you said before, his professional debut for Rangers, and certainly a brace, can't argue with that.
Yep.
76th minute, a goal from Kenny Miller.
Yep.
Play down the right hand side of the box, Clark played a great long cross, and it was hit home by Miller, so that was a great all round, well worked goal.
Yep, I think Kenny Miller has got that sort of wee added spring in his step as well, Derek. It's I think the whole thing is worked out perfect for him, because I think a lot of people were worried about Miller with his age and his fitness and all that, but maybe this is the perfect thing for Miller to come on as the sort of super sub now, you know, when he's fresh and he's able to put 100% into the last sort of 20 minutes of the game. It's maybe this is what he's been looking for, but he's certainly looked really sharp in the two games, and again, that was, you know, a great sort of poaching goal, which we're not that sure about seeing Kenny Miller doing. He's usually a guy that sort of chases everything, but yeah. Again, it's maybe a wee extra dimension to his game that he's been working on, because he certainly did look like the poacher in that, and it was another fine finish, so yeah, yeah. Excellent.
I mean, the fitness of the whole team certainly improved, and that was highlighted on RTV by Derek Johnson and
Tom Miller,
yeah. I forgot his name.
Aye. How could you forget the legend's name, Derek?
I don't know if it's a case of he's getting utilised better now that he's joining the game to at a level and at a pace where he's used to now because he's getting older, or yeah. Has he found that extra half yard of sharpness that he was needing?
I'm not sure, but it could be a bit of both, to be honest with you, because if they're training a lot harder, his fitness levels will be right up. As I say, I think it's a pretty smart move by Warburton to use him like that, because he is an experienced striker, and for him to come in, you know, fresh, you know, when we've been running defences ragged like that, for him to suddenly come in, you know, it's an extra problem for them, and it's certainly paid off in the two games that he's played.
Yep, 78th minute, Hibs did actually score, but it was ruled offside. I'm not too sure if it was, to be honest. I think I've only seen it back in replay once, and certainly it had taken a long time to filter through on the TV that yeah. It was offside. Yep. So it was a cross in for the left, header into the net. The player wasn't picked up, but well, you know, it was ruled offside, so we'll take that one.
Yep.
And the last goal of the game was in the 81st minute. Kenny Miller once again played down the right hand side, ran with the ball, crossed it in, a slight deflection, picked up Miller, and away his first touch back of the net.
Yep.
It was kind of similar to his first goal he scored in the game.
Yeah, it was again good sort of poaching instinct by Miller, and you know, fantastic result. Still kind of quite believe that was the score, but absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, kind of have no arguments about that. But, you know, as you said before, they were deemed to be our closest rivals this year. So if it's going to be like that, we're going to walk this league. But it's a long, long way to go yet.
Yeah, it is, Derek. And we are trying not to get carried away. But I think everybody's genuinely excited by the way that we have been playing, because we have been playing so poorly over the last few seasons and struggling in almost every single match. Just to see us come out and attack like that and really... especially in the second half. I mean, they were just outstanding in the second half. Every time that we were breaking going forward in the second half, they looked as if we were going to score. And when was the last time that we can really honestly say that, you know, that's what we thought when we were watching Rangers, that they looked as if they were going to score every time they went forward? I'm talking years now. You know, the last time that I can honestly say that, I don't know about you.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I totally agree there. Alright, well, going into the next game now, I'm not going to cover this too much because it was a pretty foregone conclusion, to be honest. There's only one change to the first team, and that was Shields came in for Holt. Holt did drop to the bench. The bench slightly different as well. We had Kelly, Zaliukas, Aird, Walsh, Holt, Miller and Clark. This was against Peterhead at Ibrox for the League Cup. Round 1 on Sunday the 2nd of August.
Yep.
As I said, I'm not going to cover this too much because, you know, Peterhead offered nothing but we stopped them playing. It was very, very attacking football all the time. I don't think Fotheringham had any saves to make, to be honest. I've not checked the stats on that, but certainly, you know, if he did have any saves, it was powder puff. We did score on the 40th minute with a Templeton scored. Cross in from the deck on the right-hand side, flicked on by a Rangers player, fell to Templeton. I thought the goal was a bit of a fluke, to be honest, because it kind of half came off him and then back into the back of the net. What do you think about that?
Well, did you see the replay from the back of the goals, Derek? It actually looked as if he did go for it, but it kind of bounced. See, he didn't get a great hit on it, but he certainly meant to do it. You know, as you say, when you see it for the sort of main play for the side, it looked as if he sort of sclaffed it, and it might have been a bit of a fluke, but when you see it for the back, you can see that he was aiming for the goal. So you know, to be fair to him, and he scored, and really pleased for him, because both you and me have been talking about this guy. We know that he's got the ability there. We know that he's, you know, really should be pushing, you know, for a first team spot, and just delighted that he's getting a chance again, because I would love to see him at full fitness. I would love to see him, you know, running at defenders and everything all the time and really contributing to the team. So here's hoping that that's the start of his career going to kick off for Rangers now. And, you know, I think the likes of Barry Mackay has looked absolutely excellent as well, like I said before. So just great to see the two of them now getting back in the team and really contributing.
Yeah, so we went into half-time 1-0 up. Second half, again, it was just more of the same. Peterhead offered absolutely nothing. We just continually were going forward, chasing every single ball, which was absolutely refreshing to see over the considering the football we've had over the last 3-4 years. We just kept piling on the pressure. I mean, I was in IKEA, so I wasn't keeping up to date with any of the games on commentary or anything like that on Twitter. And when you think about it, you're looking back, right, we've still no score, it's only 1-0, only 1-0. Never really gave a true reflection of the game at all, because, you know, certainly we're all over them. Never looked like losing a goal. And, you know, certainly our former keeper, Graham Smith, in between the sticks for Peterhead, was the one who kind of fairly kept them in it. Never had anything too strenuous to do, but certainly had to be in the right place at the right time.
No, well, I was keep up to date on Twitter constantly, and it was just everybody commenting on how we were basically just attacking constantly going for it, and as you say, trying to win every single ball and chasing every single ball, and everyone seemed delighted, even although we were only leading 1-0, everybody was still so positive on Twitter, you know, about the way we were playing, and you just knew that the second goal was going to come, and eventually it did.
Yep. Before that, just Law and Templeton came off, Miller and Holt came on, and then May came off.
May?
Who's the fucking Stevie May?
Is that a premonition, Derek? Stevie May?
Well,
it could be.
Aye, well, that's been rumoured, aye.
Aye, that's right. Aye, that'd be quite scary if he signed for us. The more, mate, that'd be.
Could be.
Aye. Go and say something about Messi or Ronaldo or something like that. Or something about me winning the lottery.
Well, me winning the lottery first before you. I'll give you something.
I'd go about money. These stories about you are true, I know they are.
That was you who said that there, not me. I wasn't offering it.
It's no like you.
Listen, that's defamation. I'm going to sue you for that one. We've got a defamation story later on in the pod.
Who do you think you are, the old Rangers board?
Well, it's linked to the board, funnily enough, the story.
Okay.
So,
right,
yes. So it was Law that came off, Clark came on. And that was in the 71st minute. On the 74th minute, Miller got a goal. So that's three goals in two games for him. Traverney out on the right-hand side, great skill to beat a few players. Cuts into the box, puts a great cross into Miller. And again, a very similar goal to his other two, bang into the back of the net.
Yep.
Brilliant.
Excellent. Yep, again, and in the right place at the right time. So, like I said before, is this something that is he concentrating more, Miller, on being a poaching type striker, whereas before the rest of the season he's really had to do all the work himself to try and get the ball up, because you know, the service that he's had last season was absolutely shocking, and any goals that he did score a lot of the time were down to his own making. So you know, it's maybe something that he can concentrate on now, is just, you know, scoring goals rather than having to do it all himself.
Yeah. A minute later, Wycorn had a great shot for about 20 yards, hit off the post. Great wee bending shot there. And on the 81st minute, we rounded off the goal scoring for the day with Traverney. Clark fed a very intelligent ball through to Traverney, beat a couple of players. He was miles in space and calmly slots a home past the keeper.
Yep, composure, Derek, absolutely brilliant. The guy looks as cool as a cucumber. I was hearing comparisons. I don't think we can go this far yet, but I was hearing comparisons to Arthur Newman when he first came to Rangers, but as I say, I don't think we can go that far. Newman was a world class full back, but this guy certainly at this level, looks, you know, to be an absolute class act. I think, like I said at the start of the pod, I think we've unearthed a gem here. I really do. So, here's hope it continues. Another great performance, as you say, attacking all the way, in control from the very first second of the match, and again, refreshing to see. So, really, really pleased.
Yep. Can he argue any of these sentiments there? So it's, you know, it's good that we're actually talking more about football.
Oh, it's great,
thing.
Aye, it's brilliant. And like I said before, I just think it's great that some of the players, the likes of Mackay and Templeton, are now firmly in his plans, you know, and just really pleased for the guys, because the likes of Mackay, he's been away on loan, he thought his time was up. And he's came back in and he's, you know, played the first two matches and contributed so much. Mackay, you know, he's set up quite a few of the goals and, you know, played really, really well. So, really pleased for him.
Yep. So that sets us up. It was just drawn as well in the next round, round two of the League Cup. And we are playing against Airdrieonians away.
That's
going to be played on either the 25th or 26th of August.
All right, okay. Maybe try and get to that one, Derek. I think that was the last time that that you and I were at a game together, I think, was it? No?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
Was away in Airdrie, so might see if Bagandi can tee up tickets for that if I'm off that night. So
our next game going into the league proper now is at home to St Mirren. It's this Friday on the 7th. It's a 7:45 kickoff. A bit of a side note here, it was announced during the closed season that you know, St Mirren had appointed a new assistant manager. Turns out it was an old primary school friend called Mark Spalding, so he's going to be in the dugout for the Saints there as an assistant manager.
What, an old primary school friend of yours?
Yes, of mine.
Right, fair enough.
I've not spoken to him in years, mind you, but...
What's his involvement in football then, Derek? Has he been a coach, or what's his...
From what I believe, I've not looked up... I've not spoken to him in a good few years, but he was always into football. He was always a keeper any time we played, and he was a big Arsenal fan when he was younger. I don't know if he still is. And I remember him going to do coaching with the SFA, so I think he was part of, you know, the youth development, and he's gradually worked his way up.
He was with
Ian Murray at Ian Murray's old club as a coach, and now he's became assistant manager. Yep. So certainly good luck to him, but no good luck to him on Friday.
Yeah, a bit of a nightmare for me, because when I saw that we were playing St Mirren at home that weekend, my weekend off, I thought that's fantastic. But no, it's been changed to Friday night. I'm night shift. I start at 9 o'clock, so I'll not get to see any of the game whatsoever, which I'm really, really annoyed about. But I'll just have to try and get the highlights somewhere. But I was really, really annoyed, because I thought that would be my first game of the season. But no, it's not. So
yeah.
Thanks very much, Scottish Football Association, for changing that. I take it must be for TV or something like that, Derek, if it's on a Friday. So
I think it is, yeah. I mean, I'm the same, and I did say at the end of the last pod I was going to get a season ticket, and I'd actually been online, I'd selected my seat, I was about to go and pay for it, and I thought, wait a wee minute here, how many games based on my shifts am I going to get to see? And the first two home games I'm going to miss because of my shifts, so, and because they've been changed for TV purposes and other purposes. So I've decided against a season ticket. I know it's not what I was going to do, but I'm going to try and get along to you know, as many games as I can, just pay as you go.
I'm the same, Derek. I've done that the last few years. I've always managed to get to about sort of four or five matches at home, and the one good thing about us being in the Championship is I was at the two matches that we played Falkirk last season, just because it's two minutes along the road for the house, so I'll probably get the same this season as well. I'll get to the two Falkirk away matches and try and get to as many home games as possible as I can. But as I say, with our shifts, it's pretty naff at the moment. So
yeah. So, well, we've got good things to hopefully look forward to very shortly, and we'll obviously just see it as it comes, and, you know, certainly it's been a good steading so far.
It certainly has been, yep, very impressed, and here's hoping that it's, you know, it continues and we keep playing like that. I've got a feeling we will, and I've got a feeling that there'll be a couple of new, more signings made before the 1st of September, so... I'm still quite hopeful of the Scott Allen thing as well, and I think he would only add to our attacking play as well. So I think that'll still happen. It's just a feeling that I've got. I hope I'm right.
Yeah. So we'll move on now and we will go to the Blue Room.
I'm sure you've already heard that the result was 85%. So
yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
So, I mean, absolutely.
I love you.
How about your means?
Right, and probably what is going to be the most shortest Blue Room section we've ever had. Thank fuck for that. I'll just briefly go over, I've only got 4 or 5 points here. So apparently the first thing that happened is Dave King had another meeting with Mike Ashley and the Sports Direct guys, about trying to figure out what we can do about these contracts for the merchandise. Still, we haven't heard any details of what's happened there. Dave King did do an interview on Sky Sports with Jim White. Jim White went out of South Africa,
yeah,
Jammy Bastard.
It was like so chuffy, so Jim, you can see it oozing at him. He was so delighted to be there and talking about Rangers and everything. It was absolutely brilliant to see. So it was.
He's got the best job ever. All the hot women he's got to work with, and me trips out like that. What have we done wrong?
But you try to say that you've not got a great job and there's not any hot women at your work, Derek.
No comment.
No.
Right. Yeah, so he was out in South Africa. Very, very good interview. He made a good account of himself. And he made one point, and some people who, you know, don't like Dave King, shall we say, you know, try to twist his words. He did say that Rangers are always going to be the second biggest club in Scotland if we don't start buying merchandise and things like that. For one minute, he was not saying buy merchandise, and now, while the deal is absolutely shocking for Rangers, he says that he knows that the deal has to be sorted out both amicably for both parties, which, you know, I don't have any issue with Sports Direct, you know, selling our products.
No.
It's the you know, the percentage
exactly.
That they're
taking. I mean, it's for the likes of myself, Derek, I'm genuinely excited about this season, and I've seen the new home strip and I actually think it's really smart, and I would have loved to have bought it for my wee boy for his birthday, which is coming up, because he always gets a new sort of strip for his birthday, and I would have loved to have went out and bought it, but I just can't. I can't now. I'm hoping and praying that Dave King comes out in the next 4 weeks to say that there has been a deal made and there's going to be, you know, it's going to be a much better deal for Rangers, and then I would go out and buy it. But at this moment in time, I couldn't, and there's thousands of other Rangers fans in the same boat. They would love to go out and buy the strip if they knew that there was going to be a large chunk of their money going to the club, but it's just no like that at the moment, and I just really hope he gets it fixed soon.
Yeah. And what's been quite heartening is the fact that, you know, from looking around the stadiums that they've played so far, and a lot of the fans you speak to, they're all doing this the retro top thing, going to the games,
well,
or buying the Lion brand.
That was the big thing about the upcoming game against St Mirren that I've been seeing on Twitter, is they're wanting everybody to wear their old tops to that game. I seen a link to it the other day, so that, again, would have been good to go, because I've got quite a few. I've posted them up on Twitter a few times, some of the old tops I've got, the old McEwan's Lager ones and all that. I would have put mine on for Friday if I was going, so I'll have to do that the next time that I'm going to a match, and put my old top on. But I think it'll be great to see, and I hope everybody does that, because it'll be excellent to do that.
Yeah. Yep, next thing we've got here is another good bit of news. 4 of the shareholders' rights have been suspended by the board. Basically, Blue Pitch, Putney Holdings, ATP, I think it is, Investments, and Norn and Stolt have been basically suspended. It means they can't vote and they'll not be able to trade their shares or do anything, really. Basically, the board wrote to them basically looking for clarification on ownership and never got back to them.
Yeah.
Margarita is not part of that, because apparently they're not listed on our company shareholder register. So I don't know what that means exactly. I'm not, you know,
the whole Blue Pitch thing, you know, again, has been a mystery from day one. The fact that nobody's willing to actually say who it is that they, you know, that they are, and you know who is their investors and who are their shareholders in their company. It's always been a bit fishy, but I better know. But it's always been a bit strange that they've never, you know, came forward and offered to tell us who it is that's actually running them. So And it looks as if Dave King isn't getting any luck in that front either.
No. So, I mean, all their shareholdings, I think it's kind of close to, you know, 9 million or 8 million shares or something like that, and that's about 10.4% of the club. So, certainly a big chunk there, but it's not, it's obviously seems to have been diluted compared with what's happened over the last few while with, yeah. you know, the Three Bears and Dave King buying shares. Yep. So that's certainly a good thing. It limits, you know, any voting rights. So if there's anything, you know, coming up shortly, which I'm going to get onto in a minute, they'll not be able to do anything about it. So the next thing, as I said, is an advisor has been appointed for the ISDX stock exchange. So we're moving certainly swiftly forward with getting ourselves listed on that stock exchange, which, bearing in mind that Arsenal are actually on that exchange already.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that, Derek. That's obviously something that I've missed, but that's certainly good news. As you say, it looks as if we're moving forward properly as well. So, that's excellent news.
Yep. And on the 7th of July, just going before any of these stories broke, as the big tax case went back to court with, obviously, the HMRC further appealing their appeal, effectively. Nothing has came out of that yet. I think it was 4 days worth of more talks within the courts. I don't know if there's any more to come. I don't know if they're deliberating. We've just not heard anything in the media. It really makes no odds to the club anymore. It's just more further vindication, you know, hopefully it goes in our favour again.
Yep.
So we'll wait and see on that one.
Yeah.
So that wraps up the Blue Room.
Fantastic, mate.
Yes.
That was only about 5 minutes worth there, which is unheard of.
And it's all good news as well.
It is enough.
Much.
Fantastic. Yeah. Yep.
So hopefully long may it continue. I know we're obviously going to have still some things to air out. Obviously the Mike Ashley situation, stock exchange things, obviously these four shareholders. But, you know, it certainly looks to be travelling in the right direction. And we're finally, after, you know, 4 years just worth of being in the doldrums and wondering if we're actually going to have a club anymore, we're actually back on steady footing.
Yep, and as you say, both off the pitch and on the pitch, it's looking rosy, so long may it continue.
Yes. So, we'll move on now and we'll go to the classic match.
Manchester, brace yourself. Rangers are coming!
Right, Dave, you told me about it. I've not had a chance to actually watch the game yet. I don't really remember the game, so tell us what it is.
I was definitely at this game, Derek, I remember, and it's quite funny that I've been talking about Kenny Miller, you know, in the two games he's played, because this was very early in Kenny Miller's Rangers career where he actually went out and done a Marco Negri and scored 5 goals in one game. It was.
Well, I was going to say, did they shag Perini's wife?
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah, it was on the 4th of November 2000, so 15 years ago. Kenny Miller signed for Rangers. I think he was only about 19 or 20 at the time. At the time, Dick Advocaat said that he was buying this guy as a squad player, but he turned out to play quite a vital role for us in that season, both in the league and in the Champions League as well. But that day, Rangers lined up with Christensen. Do you remember him, Derek?
Oh, big one Jesper.
One of the most expensive substitute goalkeepers of all time. I think they paid about $1.5 million for him. Fernando Rixon, Amoruso, Arthur Newman, Barry Ferguson, Michael Moles, George Alberts, Ronald De Boer, Tugai, Wilson and Kenny Miller. Now it was it Scott Wilson that played at centre-half?
Yes.
It was him that was playing at the back with Lorenzo Amoruso that day, and going back and listening, because it's funny how when you hear things in commentary, when you're looking back, you can remember back, and back then we were struggling defensively in the centre for who to play alongside Lorenzo Amoruso at that point. But they were struggling there, but certainly going forward they looked fantastic. And, you know, as the game kicked off straight away, we were right attacking. Michael Moles looked absolutely fantastic, and it was Michael Moles that got the ball on the edge of the box. He passed the ball to George Alberts, who touched the ball back to Kenny Miller, and, you know, straight away had a shot. It was just wide of the post. It came off one of the defenders and we got a corner. So still just into the first minute.
Taken by De Boer's, a lot of curl in that. Scrimger not happy with it, and that's in. Miller scores the opening goal for Rangers after exactly 1 minute 20 seconds.
Corner was played in by Ronald De Boer. The ball was cleared by the goalkeeper. He kind of sort of punched it out, but it only went as far as the penalty spot. And Kenny Miller was on the penalty spot, and I don't know how he managed to do it, but he managed to volley it. But he volleyed it, but just sort of looped it over the defender right into the top corner. It wasn't a rocket or anything, it was like a placed volley lob right into the top corner. Absolute peachy a goal. Put Rangers 1-0 up, that straight away in the first minute. And then from there on in, it was just Rangers. A great move straight after that. Lorenzo Amoruso to Michael Moggs, again to Kenny Miller on the left hand side, who hit a shot and it went right flashing across the goalkeeper, just missing the post and out for a goal kick. And again, just constant pressure for us. We had some more shots, and then on the 23rd minute we scored our second goal.
Well, the St Mirren penalty area simply being besieged. That's a beautiful pass, and it's in. Yes, Miller, superb finish and a great move by Rangers. As I said, you cannot allow Newman that space on the left-hand side. And young Kenny Miller, two goals now, staking the positive claim for Tuesday night's game as he slides in here to finish a glorious move. Rangers 2-0.
And it was Ronald De Boer who fed a fantastic ball to Arthur Newman, who ran into the box. He put a low cross across the goalkeeper. There's Kenny Miller, slid in to make it 2-0. Reminiscent of his first goal against Hibs there last week. And then only 2 minutes later, we scored the third goal.
Cleared effectively, Ferguson goes in very well. On it goes to Moles, and there's the ball through to Albert. He's looking inside towards Miller again, and he again! A hat-trick for the youngster, gloriously put in. Tremendous strike there by Kenny Miller.
25 minutes played, Michael Moggs with a great through ball on the left to George Albert. Albert's looked up, there's a first time cross, absolutely fantastic cross, right into the back post, and there was Kenny Miller, who rose up, bulleted the ball in with his head. Hat trick on 25 minutes for him, absolutely sensational. And then again, 6 minutes later after that, the 31st minute.
Here's De Boer. Lovely little run there by Ferguson. Here's Miller again! Yes! Well, he is almost slightly embarrassed by scoring four goals in that one so easily.
Barry Ferguson, a great ball to Kenny Miller, who was in the box. He looked up, fired the ball as calmly as you like past the goalkeeper to make it 4-0. So 4-0, four goals to Kenny Miller, and we'd only played 31 minutes. Absolutely sensational. Just before half time, St Mirren pulled a goal back, a goal by Gillies scored to make it 4-1. So we went in at half time 4-1. Billy Dodds came on at half time for Ronald De Boer, and straight away, instant impact Dodds, straight away, the start of the second half, a shot. He had a shot and goal just past the post. And then it was just about 10 minutes later after that, 57 minute, we score another goal.
Amoruso picks it up. Now Ferguson. Amoruso on the left wing now. What's he going to do with it? It's a goal! Billy Dodds this time. An excellent play by Rangers ex-captain.
Amoruso picks up the ball, big ammo. His trademark runs up to the halfway line. He played a 1-2 with Barry Ferguson. He played it into him on the left-hand side of the box. A low cross, and there was Billy Dodds to fire it in to make it 5-1 to Rangers. Absolutely sensational stuff for Rangers at this point. St Mirren had just fell away completely, and it was just all Rangers. We got a corner not long after that, which he should have made it 6. Amoruso with a header, absolute bullet of header, it would have burst the net with it, but just past the post there. And then on the 77th minute, another fantastic goal for Rangers.
Beautiful ball through to Newman. Billy Dodds, and oh, what a goal! strike by Miller.
Oh, one touch play, great play. George Alberts to Arthur Newman, then Arthur Newman to Billy Dodds at the edge of the box. He cut the ball back to Kenny Miller, the outside of the box, and he had an absolute rocket right into the top corner of the net to make it 6-1 to Rangers. Absolutely fantastic. That was Kenny Miller's fifth goal of the game. Rangers 6th goal, 6-1 to Rangers. And then, believe it or not, Kenny Miller could have had another one. He could have had 6 goals, because just after that he had a volley at the edge of the box which was like flying into the net, and the goalkeeper managed to get a hand to it. I don't know how he done it, to make a fantastic save. And then just after the 90th minute, another great play again by Rangers.
Here's Ferguson, Alberts, and it goes to McCann. Can he finish? He does! Yes, he finished that beautifully.
Barry Ferguson to George Alberts. Alberts looked up, threw ball, seen Neil McCann. Neil McCann had came on for Michael Moles. McCann sprinting through into the box, slid it past the goalkeeper to make it 7-1 to Rangers. Sensational game to watch. She should really watch it. I actually sat here. I put it up on the big TV. I was watching it through YouTube on my wee boy's Xbox One, and he was sitting watching it as well. And I was telling him about all the players that played for Rangers back then, and all the countries that they played for, and you know, all of that. And even he was he couldn't believe Kenny Miller, because he was just like a young boy when he was playing compared to what he is now. But Kenny Miller was sensational that game for Rangers, but it's just a pleasure to sit back and watch the likes of George Alberts and Barry Ferguson and Ronald De Boer, Michael Moles, who was fantastic in the game as well. Again, I say it all the time, you get a chance to go back and watch it, you should go back and see it, because there were some great goals in the game. And did any of that ring any bells to you, Derek?
Not really, no. My memory for games is just that diabolical. So unless I go and watch them back, I don't remember a lot. Obviously, unless it's the major significant ones, you know. But
no, it was a great performance that night, and just a joy to sit back and watch some of these fantastic players playing for us. And really, it wasn't that long ago, 15 years ago, and the fact that Kenny Miller's, you know, been away and now back and still scoring goals for us is a testament to him.
And it just shows you, you know, Kenny Miller is likely to be playing on Friday at home against St Mirren.
That's right, yep. And here's, you know, Derek, what we would do for that scoreline. There's a premonition. I think we should go and put money on it right now. 7-1 to Rangers. What do you think?
This is getting quite scary. Stevie May, you know, Rangers St Mirren, Kenny Miller.
I tell you, see if Stevie May signs for Rangers in the next 2 days, I'm putting about 50 quid on Rangers winning 7-1 on Friday.
I'm putting about 50 lorry tickets on that I've made 50 quid.
Yes. There you go. A premonition. Here's hoping it comes true. And the way that we've been playing, who knows?
Exactly. So, another great, you know, well, I wouldn't know because I can't even remember it, but another great classic match there. You know, so certainly I'll be watching it on YouTube again. Dave's going to make good impetus to go and watch it.
It was.
So.
There's some fantastic goals in it, Derek, especially Miller's header, Andy's volley as well. Absolutely brilliant. The play, the sort of one-touch pass and everything was just sensational. Really, really good to watch.
Right, so we'll now go on to the What a Player section.
Brian, I mean, everybody wants to know, how come you are so good?
Right, so for our What a Player section this time, we have got someone who I believe who is a truly world-class player, certainly with his stats and his honours, certainly looks like it. He did say that he was going to be using Rangers as a kind of stepping stone, and I don't have any qualms about that when a player says that of this quality. He came in during the Advocaat era. We are talking about the man that is Giovanni Van Bronckhorst.
Yep, I can remember him signing, Derek, and he was the sort of up-and-coming superstar of Dutch football. He was already an international player and genuinely excited to be signing this young player who we played in the centre of midfield, who was outstanding for us, but I went on, I think, to be a fabulous left-back as well.
Yep. So he was born Giovanni Christian Van Bronckhorst.
Okay.
It was on the 5th of February 1975 in Rotterdam. started his playing career in the youth ranks as LMA Rotterdam, then moved on to Feyenoord between 1982 and 93. He did sign professionally for Feyenoord in 93. He did go out on loan for a year at the start, but then he finished his career at Feyenoord in 1988 when he signed for Rangers.
Yep, I think it was quite a lot, actually. I think it was about 5 million or something like that that we signed him.
He kind of instantly made an impact to the team. Great powerhouse in midfield, liked to get forward, absolutely fantastic player, had a great peg on him as well.
Yep, and he linked up. Him and Barry Ferguson were absolutely sensational playing in the centre of midfield for Rangers, because if you can remember, the midfield at that point when they were all fit was Reno on the right, Alberts on the left, Ferguson and Van Bronckhorst in the middle. I mean, that's just a world-class midfield. You know, when you look at it, every one of the players was just sheer class, and both him and Ferguson complemented each other so much. It was great, and as you say, he had a fantastic shot as well. He was, you know, a great player.
Yeah, I mean, his debut was Advocaat's first game, and I don't know if you remember this one. It was a UEFA Cup qualifier, away to Shelburne.
Yep, I do.
Yep. We were 3-0 down, yep. And we came back to win the match 5-3.
Yep.
I remember being on holiday that time, and I was watching it on TV. I think it was Eurosport it was on, and he actually scored on his debut.
Yep.
Now, he played 117 times for us, 22 goals. He won 2 leagues, that was obviously in the first 2 years, 2 Scottish Cups again in the first 2 years, and 1 League Cup in 98 as well.
Yep.
One of the standout goals I remember him scoring for us was against Monaco, where he just drove the ball forward. Must have been, you know, the best part of, you know, a full half. Drove the ball forward, had an absolute wicked shot on him and right into the back of net. But I think it was in Monaco, if I can remember
right.
That's right,
yep.
I was looking at some of his highlight reel there, and, you know, some of the goals he scored were absolute peaches. Just total genius play, total intuitive play as well, and, you know, fantastic. What a player.
Yep. He was sheer class, Derek, and he was quite an, I wouldn't say quiet player, but never caused any problems. He was never one of these guys that was right in your face all the time with the referee, you know, and that. He basically went about his business. He just, you know, he just looked sheer class when he was on the ball, and at that point in time, you know, was playing, you know, along with some other world-class players in the team, and really, really lucky that we had him in our team, and we can look back at him, because, as you say, some of the goals he scored as well were absolutely fantastic. There were no tap-ins with Van Bronckhorst there, but he was just equally as good in defence as he was attacking as well. Just, you know, your all-round class act centre midfielder, and that was what I was quite shocked when he moved on after Rangers. He was getting played at left back, but he was such a good player that he slotted into the left back role as if he'd been playing there all his career.
Yeah, I mean, he did move on for a big signing fee. He went to Arsenal straight from us for £8.5 million, signed a 5-year deal, which is, you know, nearly unheard of these days. He actually did spend a year at the end of his Arsenal career out at Barcelona. He was only there for, what, 3 seasons.
Uh-huh.
Signed actually properly for Barcelona, then he finished his career out at Feyenoord.
Yep.
You know, look at the kind of honours he's won. He won the Premier League with Arsenal, the FA Cup with Arsenal twice, the Community Shield with Arsenal, and then he won La Liga with Barcelona twice, the Spanish League Cup with 2 times with Barcelona, then the Champions League, the ultimate goal. I mean, just look at the honours there.
Incredible.
That's a sign of,
and,
you know, something incredible.
You know, and played, you know, for Holland, I don't know how many times as well, played in the European Championships, the World Cup as well, you know, absolutely sensational, as you say. Looking back at all the honours, the guy's won, it just shows you how much a class act that he really was. And again, was just delighted that he played, you know, he played for us, because something that annoys me, and it's a lot of things that a lot of haters out there will say about Rangers, is that, you know, what world class players of Rangers have that have actually left Rangers and went on, you know, better things. You know, I think a lot of people make out that we buy players when they're on their way out and all that, but Van Bronckhorst was certainly one player that you could never say that, because when he left us, he just went from strength to strength.
Yep.
And as you say, the honours that he's got are absolutely incredible.
I mean, 106 caps for Holland.
Yep.
And he was a runner-up in 2010, obviously, when Spain played them.
Yep.
I mean, Spain were, that Spanish team were probably one of the best there's ever been,
yep.
You know, so you can't argue about losing against them.
That's right.
And he got to two semi-finals in the Euro Championships as well. So, just absolutely incredible player. Unbelievably, I cannot, you know, cannot fathom why he never got any Player of the Year in Scotland.
Yeah,
because he was just the powerhouse in midfield, and, you know, I can only imagine it's been somebody that's been even better than him that's won it these years.
Well, it'd be perfect. Derek, I'm actually thinking Barry Ferguson.
Aye.
And, you know, a lot of that was down to the fact that Hud van Bronckhorst playing alongside him, because Barry Ferguson was an absolutely a class act for Rangers. There's no getting away for that, but he did have an absolute world class partner in midfield back then in van Bronckhorst. And again, I'll go and I'll say it, I speak to a lot of older guys that have been watching Rangers in the 60s and the 70s, but in my opinion, that midfield four of Rangers beats everybody, and that's even going back to when we were winning 9 in a row, when we had Gascoigne and McCall and Trevor Stephen playing along. You know these guys in the team, I would go with those four over the four sort of main players that Walter Smith had. I don't know if you think the same thing, but I just thought they were sheer class, all four of them in there.
Absolutely. I mean, that was arguably one of the best quality sides we've ever had in terms of, you know, just genuine skill on the part of the Blavica team.
The only thing that let us down, Derek, in that period was we never had a world-class centre-half playing.
No.
You know, if we'd have had a Carlos Queller or a Davy Weir or a Richard Goff in their prime playing in that team, then I reckon that we would have gone on, you know, past the group stages in the Champions League, no problem. And it was just that lack of one, you know, absolute quality defender. You know, we had Gamo, who was a great defender for us, but had his moments, but we never really had anybody alongside him. Craig Moore done well for us, but I wouldn't go as far as saying that he was a world class. And it was the only thing that let us down when we had that midfield, is we never had an absolute sheer world class defender in there just to help him along, because we had the goalkeeper, we had the midfield, we had the striker, because Moles was absolutely outstanding for us up front as well. It was just that was the only missing link, I think, for the team.
Yep. So he's now the full team manager at Feyenoord, back to where he started.
Yep.
Also, he was assistant manager for 4 years and he's taken over the management job there. So totally, you know, good luck to him there.
Fantastic. Yep. And we wish him all the best. And, you know, he's always given a warm reception anytime he meets any Rangers fans. And he always, I've heard he's really good with the fans as well, and anytime he meets anyone. So, yep. Fond memories, absolutely world class player.
Yeah. So great to see another player there, and we'll have another one next time.
Yes.
So we'll move on now to the news.
From ITN, the ITV News at 10 with Trevor McDonald.
Right, just a few bits and pieces here. I'll start off at the beginning here. First team coach Gordon Dewey and the head of sports science Jim Henry have left the club. So I suppose it's maybe a good thing in a way, but just total regime change from the last kind of previous management.
Yeah, I think it's maybe a good thing, Derek, to have a complete change, you know, from top to bottom, the whole of the coaching side of things with Rangers. It's like we've went on about the first two games, it looks as if it's been doing the trick. So it's maybe a good thing. Again, we wish these guys all the best, but I think it's maybe just been a clean slate all the way, you know.
Yeah. Our third kit got launched as well. I've never seen the need for third kits, to be honest. Surely between four kits and you know, home and away for each team, they can come up with some sort of non-clashing combination. But the third kit is the purple kit, which is absolutely stunning, I think.
Oh, Derek, I've got to completely disagree with you. I think it's an absolute shambles here, strip.
Well, I like it.
I seen a guy in Tesco's wearing it the other day, and he was quite a portly chap, and it's certainly not flattering in any way. And I thought, oh my god, it was like a set of some old wife's curtains, to be perfectly honest with you. I really don't like it.
I'm glad you said curtains here.
Yeah, no beef curtains. I think.
Are you still watching that brothel program?
I don't know what you're talking about, mate. I think the home strip's cracking. I really like it. The away strip's quite smart as well, and I like the red strip also. But I just really don't like that. I don't like the purple one at all. But we've all got our opinions, and you like it, Adonis. So I don't think we'll be buying it regardless until we're seeing the design and sorts of the mic, actually. So
exactly.
Yep.
I did mention that there was some sort of legal issue with people linked to the previous board. Duff and Phelps have issued BBC with a £3 million damages writ due to the documentary The Men Who Sold the Jerseys. Mm-hmm. It was actually filed a while ago, however it was sisted, which has basically been put on the back burner. So I don't know if that is due to the fact that they've got criminal proceedings against them or anything like that, but you know, we'll leave that one there because there's legal issues in it.
Yeah. And as I say, two organisations that we really don't care much for, to be honest with you. So,
no.
As you say, we'll leave it at that.
Yep. But a sad news here. It's somebody who I've obviously both of us have not really had any experience of watching, but former player Sammy Cox has died at the age of 91.
Yeah, I saw that. Yep.
370 appearances for us, capped 24 times. He was a treble winner and turned pro with us in 1946. So. Certainly one of the old blue noses there,
yeah,
so I'm a bit sad.
I believe there's going to be a minute's silence as well, but the game on Friday as well, which is a good touch, so pleased that Rangers have done that.
Right. We did allude to it before, obviously, the Scott Allen issue here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to make of this. It's just, you know, unbelievable. It's big bad Rangers once again, isn't it?
I know. I'm trying to be as... I'm trying to be sort of non-judgmental as possible for us, Derek, and didn't get me wrong, we put in the first offer, which was pretty poor, and I think nearly any team in that position would have said, no, you're not taking your best player for £125,000. When the second bid came in, which was a good deal more, the fact that he can sign a pre-contract with us in January, I would have said, right, you're going to have to cut your losses here. They've came in, and then they've turned around and said no again, and then he's put in a transfer request, and on the same day he's put a transfer request, he's been seen out in the town with all the Rangers players having a drink, you know, another sort of big sort of sign to Hibs to say, look, I don't want to be there, I want to be at Rangers, the club that I support. You know, him and Andy Halliday, I believe, are like really good pals, because there's been umpteen pictures of the two of them on Twitter and stuff like that. Even before Halliday signed for Rangers, they were good pals. It's quite obvious he's desperately and he wants to be there. And as you say, Hibs have basically spat the dummy and said, no, there's no way that we're selling to Rangers. Absolutely shocking. And the way that the media have portrayed Rangers in this is absolutely shocking as well. And I know we don't like to talk about Celtic, Derek, but where was all of this media reaction when Celtic paid Dundee United £250,000 for Gary Mackay-Steven, who at that point was the sort of best young talent in Scotland, already a Scotland international, and it was only £250,000 that they paid for him, two clubs in the Premier League. Absolutely nothing said about that, but when we do the same for Scott Allen, it's as if we're, you know, we're some sort of tyrant here. It's absolutely shocking. Hibs, I think, really need to grow up. He obviously doesn't want to play for them. They should let him go. I know we're seeing this through blue-tinted glasses, Derek, but when a player puts in a transfer request, he's no happy, and he'll certainly no perform for you if he doesn't want to be there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you feel the same way or not.
You know, I have no issues with Hibs not wanting to sell to us. We're their main rivals. They think they're going to be the main rivals. They might not be if they perform like they did against us a couple of weeks ago or last week. But, you know, so that's why I have no issue with them. But it's the way they're portraying us. It's big bad Rangers. Oh, they've came in a week before. You know, we're due to play them to try and unsettle a player. Well, if that's what's happened, that's what happened, you know. It's just this, as usual though, it's a lot of the other side of the kind of Glasgow fans that are kind of causing a lot of issues.
Yep.
Once again, they're getting involved in our issues. It's nothing to do with them.
No.
And they've been hypocrites as well.
Yep.
And as you know, what's his name? Their manager, Alan Stubbs, has already been found out to be a hypocrite. And the Bolton fans have already said you're a hypocrite because you've done the exact same thing
yourself
to us.
Yep, exactly.
So, you know, But, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, as you said, if he's handed in a transfer request, he's a professional at the end of the day, he'll play regardless. It's telling that, you know, he's been kept on the bench for our game at the start and then he came on due to injury.
Did you see Hibs' cup game from Saturday, Derek?
Well, he never started, did he?
No, he was on the bench. Hibs were struggling. They brought him off the bench. He scored and then I think he set up the third goal as well for Hibs. So, you know, the guy, he's obviously a class act. He's came on, he's changed the game for Hibs because at that point Hibs were totally under the caution until he came on. So, to be fair to him, he's been very professional about it. He still came out and gave his all for Hibs. But I've got a feeling that we'll put in another bid, Derek. I think that they'll put in a bid for about 300,000 and surely that would be enough for Hibs to sell, because they've got to remind ourselves that they're not a Premier League club this season, and that kind of money you really can't turn down for a guy that's not got long to go in his contract. Yeah. So I've got a feeling that they will put another bid in for him and we will sign him before the transfer window closes. I hope I'm right, but I have a feeling it'll happen.
I mean, if they were that worried, why didn't they tie him up in a longer deal before now? Yeah,
exactly. And another thing that you alluded to, Derek, which he has quite rightly said that it is written in his contract that if he got an offer from a bigger club, that he does have a release in his contract, which they, I think, are reneging on as well. So that's the reason that he put in for his transfer request also. So I don't know how that's going to go either. I just hope it happens soon.
Yep, never knew that one, so we'll see what happens. One thing I've got here is, obviously there's been a lot of media coverage as well about Chris McLaughlin from the BBC and Britney Spears getting banned from Ibrox. Sorry, they're not being banned, that's the wrong word. It's that their press credentials have been revoked.
Yes.
So they're still freely allowed into Ibrox if they want.
Yep. You mean as paying supporters, Derek? I don't think that's going to happen.
I doubt it.
No.
So basically, the reason is given are basically their uneven and biased reporting against Rangers. Basically, it's all kind of came to a head when Chris McLaughlin was allegedly offered information by the SPFL delegate after the Hibs game, and it stated that three Rangers fans arrested for sectarian singing. Right, if that's happened, fair enough, but apparently this is not the usual process for that to happen. He came out and said that he always goes to the delegates and asks them for information, which turned out to be a load of shite by the sound of it. Mm-hmm. And the RST have actually went to the SPFL and asked them for some clarity on this today, that their delegates openly offer things like that. They said they don't, there's not any rules that they're breaking, however, they're urged not to talk to any journalists.
Right, okay.
And obviously they've asked for, well, is this person going to be dealt with? Kind of rightly they've said, well, that's an internal thing, we'll deal with that.
Yep.
And obviously Brittany's, you know, been a proven liar time and time again, and he's, you know, been found out and his credentials have been revoked. So it doesn't stop them writing anything, but it stops them from getting it.
And it more than likely won't stop them writing, Derek, but we've become so used to it with Spears now, it's just the fact that the guy even engages with people on social media and still has a pop when he knows he's got the audience. He's more an attention seeker than anything else, Derek, and it really gets in my goat that he still continuously comes out and tries to spout stuff about us all the time. It's just constantly. Chris McLaughlin as well, it's just, you know, any negative story that he can find about Rangers or their supporters seems to get top billing. So it's maybe, you know, about time that the club did start acting like this and start not allowing certain people in to spout their lies about us as well. So hopefully another positive step away from the sort of plain side of things, you know, well, a lot of the haters out there, because it would never be allowed to happen at certain other clubs, people coming out and constantly slagging them off, so why should it be allowed at us? So, you know, it's a good thing for the club there, so I'm pleased about that one.
Yeah, and Craig Houston from the Sons of Struth was on BBC Sportsound tonight with Tom English on as well.
Yeah,
and Tom, I don't know if you listened to it.
No, I didn't, Derek, because I completely missed it, and I've been reading about it on Twitter, and I was going to ask you about that to see if you'd actually heard it or not. So.
I listened to it, and Tom English made an arse of himself, continually spoke over Craig, never let him speak, and Craig really firmly put him in his place and called him out for being at anti-Rangers, which he never denied, by the way.
Yeah.
And all Craig was trying to say to him, well, you know, where's the kind of even support, the even journalism here? You know, there was no issue with Rangers Scott with Celtics, but as you said, for the likes of Gary Mackay Stephen.
Was that so brought up?
That was brought up. Right, there was okay. Other things as well brought up as in relation to it. So, you know, he never really had an answer there for it. And, you know, as usual, he done the same with Dave King. He put his own personal opinions forward as facts and, you know, opinions for the BBC, which, you know, he came out and fully supported the BBC, and he said, you know, it's about time this happened. The BBC stood up. Because obviously the BBC, I meant to say this, the BBC have actually refused to send any other delegates to Ibrox to cover any games.
Oh, well, that's fine.
Aye.
Any Rangers fan out there doesn't really watch or go to the BBC website for match commentary anyway. It's all done on Twitter, it's all done through Rangers, it's all done through, you know, other supporters. I know that's the way that I do it. If I kind of get to a game, it's on Twitter, it's never the BBC, so we really don't need them anyway, Derek. And any highlights or anything like that we see are brought out by RTV and stuff like that, so aye, we don't need them, and we'll wait and see. They'll change their tune as soon, especially I think if we get promoted, they'll be begging to get back in as well. So we'll let them sweat for a while, and it's as I say, well done to Rangers for that. So.
Yep, and the last bit of Rangers news before we get into some strange stuff here is it's just been a breaking news tonight that Douglas Park has stepped down from the board, citing that he's got too many other commitments that he can't put enough time into Rangers. So his son Graham is stepping into his place. So it's not as if we're going to lose any investment by the sound that he's still going to be linked there,
because he's a very well-known businessman in Scotland and very wealthy as well, and he's always been a big supporter of Rangers and the board as well, so I'm glad that he's that not all his interests are away from Rangers if he's putting his son in.
Yep. Alright, so that kind of wraps it up for the Rangers news, as if we kind of like to go into the bit dodgy stuff here. So
right.
World famous porn star Jenna Jameson confirms she's a Manchester United fan.
All right, okay.
So basically, she put out a tweet ages ago saying that she was looking for tickets for the Man United game. They've picked up on it and they've said, "Oh, she's a Man United fan."
All right, okay. Do we know why an American porn star would want to go and watch Man United?
It's Louis van Gaal, isn't it?
It's what?
It's Louis van Gaal, isn't it?
How do you mean?
Oh, he's a pure stunner. I'm not doing my case any good here, am I?
No, you're definitely not, mate.
No, I'm definitely editing that out.
Definitely not.
I've no idea.
Right, okay.
But anyway.
Right, okay. We'll leave it at that then.
Yep. Totally off football here. Mm-hmm. A rude name has been blamed for a house's failure to sell more than three years being on the market.
Right.
It's a property in southern Sweden. And it would originally have been snapped up in a hurry, given there's a housing shortage there. But according to the local paper, the two-bedroom home near Lanholm in Halland, which is a bargain at just £32,000, has fallen foul of its address.
Okay.
Located in the village of Snodslida.
Okay.
Which in Swedish translates to penis vagina.
Okay then. Why on earth would anybody call a town that?
No idea.
Unless Jenna Jameson lived there.
Maybe.
So, penis vagina.
Yes.
All right, then. Where do you get these stories from, mate?
These are good stories. This is the Daily Record here.
I was going to say, I thought it was the Daily Star. Talking about the Daily Star, did you see the probably one of the best newspaper headlines that there has been in years, and I actually put it up on my Facebook page. Did you see it when I put it up? When it was when all the trouble was first coming on about all the migrants in Cali, and the Daily Star put up their psycho seagulls keep out illegals.
Oh God!
The Daily Star, you can't beat it, man. It's super. So there you go.
And a bit of a personal question for you, Dave.
Oh, here we go. Right, okay.
Do you name your manhood?
No.
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 Well, apparently a survey, according to Daily Record anyway, a survey found that 72% of men go for masculine names, while the remainder opt for light-hearted names for their private parts. But so you got any guesses what the top manhood name was?
Is it in Scotland, Derek? It's got to be Bobby, surely.
It's not, actually.
It's got to be Bobby. Right,
no.
Go for it.
Right. Number one, Troy. You're no Troy the Gardener, you're Bobby the Butterman.
Exactly. This can't be in Scotland. There's nobody in Scotland called Troy. Nobody.
Right. Number two was Hercules. Number three was The Rock. Number four, Russell the Muscle. Number five, Wilfred.
Where?
Wilfred.
Right.
And this is rather concerning, number six, Dave.
Oh, what can I say?
Yes.
I'm not saying any more, actually.
I've no idea where the survey came from, but I don't know if it just includes British people or not. But
it's certainly not a Scottish thing, because there's nobody would come up with the name Troy in Scotland. That must be an English thing, I think.
Yes. So on that note, that wraps it up pretty much for this week. As ever, you can find us on our website at iReadyPod.com, facebook.com/iReadyPod, and our Twitter is @iReadyPod. We do also have a new YouTube channel, which is basically just the audio feeds of this. You don't get to see our ugly mugs, unfortunately.
Oh, thank God.
Yes. I haven't been secretly filming us doing this, Dave, so you can...
I don't know what to hear about you secretly filming it.
So I've only got the first 10 episodes from season 1 up there now, so I'll get more shortly. It does take a wee bit of time, but go have and listen to that if you've not got iTunes or anything like that.
Yeah. I don't know if you were looking at it the other day or no, but I was trying to arrange a pod amalgamation piss up with the guys for the We Are the from the We Welcome the Chase podcast. And I think they were well up for it, because Bazbowski was straight in there within about 10 seconds of me putting that up, that he was well up for us for a piss up. So I don't know what I've got us into here, Derek, but I think that they're all wanting to meet up at one point, so we'll have to take a wee trip through to the Loudoun or something like that and meet up with a few of them. So
yes.
We'll wait and see how that turns out.
Right, and last thing I've got to say here is I put a picture up just before we started recording on our Twitter feed. Basically, it's a picture of a pretty attractive woman footballer, and a comment below
Hold on. I missed this, and I can't. I'll have to get a look at this, mate. Oh yes, right, okay.
You see the comment?
Oh, she's a stunner, Dave. Who does she play for?
I've no idea, but I'm going to try to find out, because I would probably be doing the same if I was that guy.
I'm not being a perv here, but I'm zooming in on her chest, and I'll tell you why, because there looks to be a Statue of Liberty, so I'm taking it she must play for a team in the USA. That's my excuse for zooming in on her chest anyway.
Yes, obviously. Go and take a look at the picture, because it's actually quite funny. So.
I know, fantastic, aye. That's good.
So that wraps it up for the episode 1 of season 3. My God, we're at season 3.
I know, incredible. And I think for the first time ever, Derek, we've actually had a pod that we've been really, really optimistic and, you know, full of the joys. And here's hoping it's going to stay like that now.
Absolutely, yes. So we do know the issues last year. We only got 10 episodes out last year, and it's not really started very well this year. We were meant to do a pre-season pod, but just due to scheduling issues, we never managed. So we're going to try and hopefully get a wee bit more regularly. We'll need to eat all brands from now on.
That's exactly right. You can't be being regular, mate. And
yeah.
We are going to try and attempt to have some guests on as well. I know we stayed at constantly last year. We were going to try and get Bazbowski on and things like that, but we will definitely try and get some other people on so that you don't just have to listen to me and Derek drone on through the whole pod. So we will mix it up a wee bit, I'm sure.
Absolutely. So all I can say is thanks for listening and goodbye.
Yes, goodbye everybody. Get out on Friday night, cheer the team on, and remember and wear your retro top.
Cheers, bye.
Cheers. no, am I talking shite, or was it Monaco? I can't mind. Scrub that bit, mate, because I'm talking shite, mate.